Well, thank you, George. I want to deal with prayer and the believer. Now, this story is told, it's been around for several years. Perhaps you've heard it about the occasion in a bar when a fella, the conversation went to whether or not a guy could recite the Lord's Prayer. And so they put up some money and they gave $10 each to it. And they says, okay, I don't think you can. So the man prepared to do that. He stood up and a hush fell over the bar. And here he began to recite the Lord's Prayer. He began by saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And the bar was astonished. They said, "Go ahead and give him the money. I didn't think he could do it." Well, for those theologians that are listening, that is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is significantly different. And many people can recite it from memory. However, the story does illustrate the point. For the believer, prayer is misunderstood. And for the unbeliever, it is widely misunderstood. Now, what I'm going to say in the next few minutes, this is the crux of it. The purpose of prayer is to express our submission to the sovereignty of God and our trust in His faithfulness. Prayer is the means by which we express all that is in our hearts to our loving and wise Heavenly Father. Prayer is not to give information to God because God knows everything. Prayer brings us into a reverent communion with God, worshiping Him and acknowledging Him as the giver of all things. I want to speak about the nature of prayer. For the believer, prayer is a learning experience and must be developed into a spiritual discipline. For many believers, they have not come to a place where they have learned and developed into a spiritual discipline. Jesus is our example, and His disciples came to Him on one occasion in Luke 11:1, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So let's read it, Luke 11:1. "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" So the learning experience began, and the example has been set forth for us. Romans 8:26, the Apostle Paul gave some instruction. "In the same way, the Spirit itself helps us with our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." According to the Apostle Paul, the Spirit comes alongside of us and assists us in prayer. And in light of that, what should we do when we really don't know what to pray about? The answer is we need to pray anyway and rely on the Spirit to intercede for us. Have you had occasions when someone would ask you to pray for them and you would just begin to pray? And when you concluded that prayer, they would say to you, "How did you know what to pray for? You have just experienced the Spirit of God coming alongside of you and assisting you and interceding for you." Prayer is an exchange of intimacy with God. The Scripture tells us that God is very interested in our personal struggles. Psalms 34:15-19. "In the eyes of the Lord, and the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His eyes are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the face of the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And that's certainly been my experience. I had a lot of troubles, one upon the other. Had periods of extended difficulties. And the testimony of my experience is that the Lord sustained me. He did deliver me out of them all. I'd like to go back to verse 16. "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Do you recall a fellow named Nikita Khrushchev back in the Kennedy era? He was invited to address the United Nations, and while there he waxed very fervent, and at one point he took his shoe off and began to pound on the podium and declare to the American people, "We will bury you." And his memory has pretty much vanished from the face of the earth. Another period of time when we had difficulty with the former Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, him and Reagan, and back in the 80s, a great deal of stress between the Americans and the Soviet Union. And we feared their nuclear buildup, and they feared our nuclear buildup. And now we look back in this not that distant past, and we can conclude that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. And if you consider your history, you will find that there is a lot of people that have vanished from the world stage, no longer to put us at risk. And when you consider those in the continent of the Africas and all of the great slaughters that have followed there, and those people, that what became of them, they are no longer. David had periods of prayer and recorded in Scripture, and they're set before us as an example. So what did David bring before the Lord in Psalms 142:2, 2-5? "I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my troubles. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who knows my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." We are encouraged to approach God in prayer. Hebrews 4:6. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need." You talk to any old Christian who's been around a long time and lived a little bit of life, you will come to the conclusion that we are encouraged. We can come before the Lord with confidence, and we will indeed find help for our troubles. We're encouraged to approach God in Hebrews 4:16. "Guard your steps. When you go to the house of the Lord, go near to listen, rather than offer a sacrifice to fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty with your heart to utter anything before God. God is in the heavens and you are on earth, so let your words be few." We're encouraged to approach the Lord. We are told that we are to have we have a privilege, but there is some caution here that we need to explore briefly. You could summarize this by saying that God would have us to come before him respectfully and to be willing to shut down our thinking and our speaking and let him speak to us. We need to become part of the prayer process for the believer is learning to listen, learning to receive. What comfort does 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 offer believers? "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that you may be lifted up in due time." There are periods of difficulty, there are times of humility, times when it's not going our way. But just wait a while. You do your part, let God do his part, and he will lift you up in due time. Verse 7, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." We need to be reminded of that. Although the evidence that we are surrounded by the evidence of God's care for us, we so often forget. We are a forgetful people, and a consistent prayer life will bring us to a time of remembering. Yes, it's been difficult, but we have this testimony. The Lord has brought us along so far. Prayer is effective. Prayer can change situations and people. We are encouraged to pray, expecting results. The church prayed in Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. God answered their prayers in Acts 12:7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And the rest of the story is that when he walked him out of the prison and he went to the church where the people were praying for him, knocked on the door, and they were surprised to see him. The lesson is that we are expected to pray with an expectation that we will receive the results. Besides answers to prayer, what does God grant those who pray to him? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are promised mental health and a peaceful spirit. And I think that Christians, we can find a great deal of a healthy mind and a peaceful spirit, and it is traceable to your prayer life. And so I would encourage you to enhance your prayer life. And it is an effort. It's a discipline. It's a learned thing. You must do this. All right, that's the nature of prayer. Let me talk about the practice of prayer. Throughout the Bible, God encourages and commands believers to be persevere in prayer. In Luke 18:1, the disciples were taught that they should pray always and to not give up. Let's read it, Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Many things are not predetermined. We have free wills. There are multiple outcomes. And one of the most difficult things is that you can pray and pray and pray, and God is dealing with another individual, but they have a free will too. And so we pray. We don't give up. There are multiple outcomes. God is able to persuade men and women to better things. What is God's will for the believers in Christ Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's two words. Pray continually. How does that work out in our lives? We have to have a prayerful mind, a prayerful spirit, and as the course of our days, we're walking in the presence of the Lord and letting our minds be prayerful. When should believers pray? Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, this is largely misunderstood. This is prayer support. This is largely misunderstood because so few people actually do it. But it is yet desired. I've not come across anyone yet in my lifetime who said to me, "I'm praying for you," that I did not say, "Please continue. Cover me up in prayer." We went to the country of Haiti with the pastor and Jerry, and we went over there to put up that tent. We look at that, and we just, our wives, our church, they were praying for us. They thought about us. They prayed for us. They covered us up with prayer. And we didn't get sick. We didn't get diarrhea. We didn't have any problems with the local political machine. We just went and did it and got in and got out. And and you look back at that and you said, that was just people holding us up in prayer. And we would encourage you to participate in that. When the Spirit deals with you to pray for someone, stop and pray for them. All right, the Bible is God's handbook for prayer. It is you who, in it, you will discover many guidelines to help you develop the practice of prayer. Luke 11:5-10. Jesus speaking, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus said, I tell you, though, that though he will not get up and give him any bread because of his friendship, because he's a friend, Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So there's a difference between strength of friendship and boldness. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Bold persistence is rewarded. And there is this principle of that God blesses an effort. I'm reminded of the stories told about the many events surrounding Mother Teresa and her arrival in India and some of the families that went there to assist them. And there was a congregation of the sick and the dying and the injured. And at one point in time, there was an event, and so we need some medical supplies. And they showed up with a shoebox full of some scissors, some gauze, some burn ointments, and some aspirin and whatever. It was a very meager offering. And they saw the need for a medical center, for a hospital. And it was noised about. And people began to say, we need this, we need this. And people began to pray. And this was, it spread to a point where people of means began to get it on their heart that this is something they should do. And as they asked and sought and knocked on doors, the result from a shoebox to a medical center that is there today. And God blesses an effort. So if you have occasions when God puts something on your heart, prayerfully see what it is that you can do to bring that to fruition. Now, what does Jesus teach as a requirement for answered prayer? John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This has been people come to the conclusion that God is a slot machine. You put a little in, you get a whole lot back. And we just ask and he'll give us what we want. That temper that with 1 John 5:4. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it's not just anything we want, it's what God wants. We pray in accordance with his will, and things will indeed come to fruition. Psalm 66:18-19. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. James 4:3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Christ is interested in the development of his kingdom. And we have on many occasions thought that prayer was a means to get what we wanted for our comfort. And that is a mistaken idea. We go to prayer. We ask God, what would you have me to do? Have your way. Submit yourself to the Lord and see what it is he will do. There's some hindrances to prayer. So let me read 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner, and as an heir with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is addressed to men. It's addressed to married men. Husbands, in the same way, consider as you live with your wives, treat them with respect. This goes a long ways. I can tell you that if you're spending a lot of time arguing with your spouse, it will indeed hinder your prayer life. So settle those issues. Let respect and treatment and the gift of life, let that be prevalent in your relationship. And you can extrapolate from that poor relationships also does not facilitate a prayer life. Let me talk a little bit about the struggles of prayer. Prayer can be hard work, and that should not keep us from praying even when it requires sacrifice. You have a prayer life because you decide to. You choose to. You set it aside and you actually make that happen. We have an example of Jesus Christ. How long did Jesus pray before he selected the 12 disciples? Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountains to pray and spent the night praying to God. And in that, we miss something here. Jesus went out to the mountains to pray. He set aside a time and a place and a purpose to pray. And he spent the entire night praying. He pulled an all-nighter. And so I have not come across very few Christians who could say, well, I prayed all night. I remember when I was a child, I was going to decide I was going to stay up all night. And I never made it. And I don't know anybody that purposed in their heart they were going to stay up all night that actually made it. And so if you purpose in your heart you're going to pray all night, let me know if that's something you're actually successful in doing. All right, there's an example of the struggles in prayer. Christ being our example, he gave us an example of the intensity of prayer in the garden. It's recorded in Luke 22:44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. He gave us quite an example there of what we should aspire to be like. Lord, we want to pray earnestly. Scripture says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God is watching. God is listening. We have his attention. Now, there are some warnings to be careful of when we devote ourselves to prayer found in Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Look for it and remember it. So part of our prayer life should be perhaps a rehearsal of what you've done for us. We've come to you, Lord, and we're grateful for what you have done. We have this testimony of healings and miracles and provision in times when things missed us. And we had some difficulty, and as a result of that difficulty, we avoided a great deal of hardship. We were a little annoyed at it at the time, but then we see where it worked out for our best. David was frustrated on occasion, and even in those occasions, we're encouraged to approach the Lord. When we're frustrated or discouraged, we can still approach God. And David gave us this example in the Psalms 13:1-2. And he directed this to the director of music, the Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? There's an honest expression of events in his life and the emotions that he's feeling. We're not going to surprise God with what's in our hearts. And we come to him and say, Lord, this is unacceptable. How long will you, my thoughts are completely out of control. My heart is broken. My enemies, it appears that they're having success and I'm not. And we can complain to God respectfully, but he complained on one occasion in Psalms 22:2. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and I am not silent. We have these emotions. We can still go to God and should. But let me emphasize that we need to go to God respectfully. There's a great deal of disrespect in our society. I could address that. In fact, our children are encouraged to have an attitude in the way that they dress themselves, the music they listen to, the way they answer people in authority. They're encouraged to be disrespectful. I contrast that with we come before God and we see people that refer to Jesus Christ as JC, God the Father as Papa, and the Holy Spirit as the Spook. Those are so disrespectful. Contrast that with the approach that the high priest took when he entered the Holy of Holies. He bathed himself. He cleaned himself up. He washed his hands. He allowed himself to be clean. He put on the garment appropriately. And then one of the last things he did before he went in there, they tied a rope around his ankle as he went into the Holy of Holies. Now contrast that with the approach that many in Christendom today are taking to their approach. I think perhaps we need to be respectful as we approach God. Prayer is governed by God's sovereignty, and his purpose determines his answer. We are not God. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he makes a choice. I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I can just tell you that for most Christians, and myself included, I do not delight in weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, or difficulties. But if we will even take an approach, a prayerful approach to these areas of things that we don't delight in, some work will occur in our lives. It will help us to be more Christ-like. That is the purpose of the Christian, is, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? And let me learn this lesson now so that I don't have to go through this again. And Christ is our example. And, Paul recorded this. He prayed three times that this would be removed. And the answer was evidently no. And so he just submitted himself to that. Now, we have an example of that in Christ. In Mark 14, 35 and 36, going a little farther, speaking of Jesus, he fell on the ground and prayed that if possible, this hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus, embracing God's will, was painful for him and profitable for us. The same is so for the Christian. It is, if we will prayerfully say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? A consistent prayer life will lead you to better behavior. Scripture says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So spiritual rebellion is contrary to what God is trying to do in our lives. We so many times say, I just can't. But if we'll examine that, we'll say, I just won't. And there is a difference between not being able to and choosing not to. And this is applicable in every area of our lives, in every relationship, at work, with our boss, with our spouses, if we wrestle with drugs, pornography, lying, theft. In every area of our life, we can bring that to the Lord in prayer. And a consistent prayer life will help us to be more Christ-like. Now, you might say, how does all of that last ranting have anything to do with power of prayer? Well, let me go back to the very opening statement. The purpose of prayer is to express our submission to the sovereignty of God and our trust in his faithfulness. Prayer is the means by which we express all that is in our hearts to a loving and wise Heavenly Father. Prayer brings us into a reverent communion with God, worshiping him and acknowledging him. And those areas in your life when you just are inconsistent with the Christian life, take them to the Lord. To those that believe on his name, he gave them power to become the sons of God. We are born again, but yet we are in a process. Now, final thought. When Jesus came into the temple for the last time, and he found it to be in a state of disarray. Animals here and people making exchanges and selling and buying, and it became a place of business. And we know the story. how he got himself a whip and he turned over the money changers' table and he drove them out. And at the conclusion of that event, he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." You can apply that to the individual and to the place of worship. I want to be a house of prayer individually, and I want this to be a house of prayer collectively. Let's pray. Jesus, we agree with you. Let your Spirit rest upon us, that we might be a praying people, that our children might see us as a prayerful man, that our wives might see us, and that this might, Lord, bring honor and glory to you. For it is in your name that we ask it. Amen.